Now, the Matlanga Judicial Commission of Inquiry has announced that only 300 seats will be available for its first public hearing, and that's at the Bridget Mabandla Justice College in Pretoria. The hearing is scheduled to take place tomorrow, Wednesday, and it will examine some allegations of criminality, political interference and corruption within South Africa's criminal justice system. Very serious issues that we know we have in South Africa. To give us some further insights, we are going to be speaking to Jeremy Michaels, who is the Matlanga Judicial Commission of Inquiry spokesperson, about what we can expect at this inquiry tomorrow. It is limited to 300 people. We're going to find out why it's only limited to 300 people, because, you know, these issues that will be discussed, you know, allegations of criminality, political interference, corruption, especially corruption and political interference within the criminal justice system in South Africa, those are very serious issues that we need to get to the bottom of in the country. So to limit that to 300 seats, those are questions that we need to ask. But we are now joined online by Jeremy Michaels, the Matlanga Judicial Commission of Inquiry spokesperson. Jeremy, very good afternoon to you.
Assalamu alaikum, good afternoon.
Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Now, we know that there's only going to be 300 seats available at that hearing that will be happening tomorrow. There's a few serious topics that will be discussed. You know, that will examine allegations of criminality, political interference and corruption within South Africa's criminal justice system, things that are quite serious in South Africa. Why limit the attendance to 300 seats, and also how will public access actually be managed at this inquiry?
Well, yeah, it's really a matter of practicality. The auditorium within which we, the commission, is hosting the public hearings, where I'm standing at the moment, actually, has limited space, and so obviously, it is the work of the commission is very sensitive, you know, given the subject matter, an inquiry into, as you've said, allegations, very serious allegations of criminality, political interference and corruption in our country's criminal justice system. And so there are very strict security measures in place. Public attendance is limited to 300, and of course we have urged the public, for those who want to be attending in person, to arrive early. But of course we are also going to be live streaming the proceedings, and so those citizens who want to be tuning into the proceedings will be able to do so via YouTube on the commission's website, excuse me, but also all the country's major broadcasters have set up over the last couple of days, and so they, in the interest of transparency, certainly members of the public will be able to tune in on a whole range of platforms to be able to follow Lieutenant General Nkonazi's testimony tomorrow, which starts tomorrow, and we expect will run for 3 to 4 days and maybe more.
Now, as you mentioned, we'll hear about allegations of criminality, political interference and corruption within the justice system tomorrow. Can you maybe outline some of the cases that the commission will be focusing on in the first hearing?
So, firstly, you know, Lieutenant General Nkonazi held that press conference on the 6th of July. And so just by way of background, of course, then a week later, the next Sunday on the 13th, President Cyril Ramaphosa announced his intention to establish the this judicial commission of inquiry, headed by then acting Deputy Chief Justice Mbuyiseli Madlanga, who of course has since retired from the Constitutional Court, but and has since the 1st of August been heading this commission. So the allegations made by Lieutenant General Mkhwanazi are, or let me put it differently, the terms of reference of the commission cover all aspects of those allegations, including that, the commission is charged with investigating whether criminal syndicates, and that includes but is not limited to drug cartels, have infiltrated or exerted undue influence over a range of law enforcement agencies, starting with the South African Police Service, and of course that includes the Political Killings Task Team, as well as Crime Intelligence, but then also the State Security Agency, the National Prosecuting Authority, the Department of Correctional Services, the Judiciary, the three Metropolitan Police Departments in Gauteng, amongst others.
We know that when it comes to the criminal justice system in South Africa, I think public trust is running a bit low. Before this, you were speaking also about the acting Minister of Police, Minister Firoz Kachalia, justifying the top secret status of that report that was concerning the actions of certain police officers in the old Pala Pala case as well. In general, I think a lot of people have lost trust in the criminal justice system in South Africa, and there seems to be something happening every year that, erodes ever so more bit of that public trust. So how significant is this inquiry for restoring that public trust of South Africans in the criminal justice system?
I think that is precisely why the work of this commission is so critically important. And I will touch on the powers of the commission in a second. But given the levels of rampant crime in our country, and not only crime, but organized crime, and given that the commission is charged with investigating these very serious allegations relating to the infiltration of our enforcement agencies by criminal syndicates, that makes the work of the commission all the more important. So in terms of those powers that have been conferred on the commission in terms of the terms of reference, I think it's very important for the public to understand that in addition to the sort of, if you would call it, normal powers to summon witnesses, compile the production of documents, conduct search and seizure operations, this commission also is able to make recommendations for immediate prosecution. Of course, remember that the commission is required. The president has made very clear that he expects a report within 3 months, an interim report, and a final report within 6 months. I will come back to that, but the commission, outside of those reports, has the power to recommend, for example, in addition, to referring matters for prosecution and investigation to the National Prosecuting Authority, amongst other law enforcement agencies, the commission can also make recommendations regarding the employment status of officials in those law enforcement agencies. And that includes whether they should be suspended pending the further outcome the outcome of further investigation. So, and I think just finally on the powers, clause 14 of the terms of reference also says, and I quote, that each report submitted to the president shall include recommendations that can be immediately actioned based on the commission's work as at that date. And that, I think, gives us a very clear indication that the intention is to take action with regard to these very serious allegations, which go to the heart of the public's ability to trust our law enforcement agencies.
Now, previously we saw the public protector finding evidence that the head of the president's protection unit, Wally Roeder, he had breached South African Police Service disciplinary regulations, but then he was also found not guilty for pursuing suspects without registering a police case. Now, that raises some questions on transparency within the criminal justice system, within the police system as well. What measures are actually going to be taken and put in place to ensure transparency with this hearings?
So, of course, I can't, on behalf of the Commission, comment on any of those matters. That is, I'm not able to get into that. But for the part of the Commission, certainly, the public, the hearings are going to be public for the better part. But, of course, it's very important to note that given the very, very sensitive issues that the Commission is dealing with, and, of course, a major factor in the way we go about our work is to ensure that we protect witnesses, right? So there will be, there are three categories of hearings. It's full public hearings, which will be televised and live-streamed. Then there's a category where the hearings will be in camera but audible. In other words, the witness will be muffled, but the public will be able to hear what the witness is saying. Mm. And then there is another category which is completely in camera, and that largely has to do or relates to classified information, state secrets. So certainly, I mean, the Commission is going to be conducting its work, and Justice Madlanga made it clear from the outset, it will be conducting its work as far as possible, fully in full view of the public. Mm.
I think it definitely is good to hear that this will be conducted in a transparent way. As you mentioned, it will be live streamed as well, so it's not just limited to those 300 seats, but anyone from the public can tune into that live stream and listen to what the witnesses have to say in that hearing starting tomorrow. But we are unfortunately going to have to leave it there, Jeremy. Thank you so much for giving us your time and for sharing all the details around this inquiry that will be starting tomorrow.
Thank you so much.